Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What's up, Rickies? Good morning. Happy Open Line Thursday to all that celebrate. 800-636-1067. You're welcome to call us throughout the show. We are the Junks. We're brought to you by our good friends at Crop Metcalf. Go to cropmetcalf.com if you want to be one of their five-star technicians. You got a four-man junk show on this Thursday. I'm Cakes at Money Metal Cakes is where you find me on Twitter, at Cakes Flops on the Instagram. Jason Bishop is here. Happy. Hopefully he stayed up for the entire Caps game last night, but he probably didn't.
No, I went to bed after Willie scored.
after the Willie goal.
Three zippy, I said, game over. I'm not going to blow a three zippy lead.
I'm glad that you at least saw that much.
Yeah.
Went to bed after that. Good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched a little bit of the fourth this morning just to make sure that the Canadians didn't come back, but no, I went to bed last night.
Very good. The fourth?
The what?
Did you say you watched a little bit of the fourth?
I'm sorry.
The third.
I meant the I was thinking fourth quarter, but yeah,
all
third.
Good.
All good. Sorry.
John Paul Flame is here too.
I stayed up for the Caps game, and then I stayed up for the Timberwolves Lakers game.
Oh, doubled it.
That is 1 a.m.
That is either impressive or the workings of
the lunatic.
Did you stay
up for the J.J. Redick presser where he walked out? Here's $2 I owe you.
I was unaware that you owed me $2, but I mean, this...
Yeah, I did the emotional hedge, and I took the Canadians last
night. This is good tip money. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I believe the J.J. Redick walkout happened before the game.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, he was asked about
if he was substitute in the second half.
He was asked about. Talks to his assistants.
So he was asked about the previous game.
In the next game, would you do it?
Yeah, okay.
They're kind of insinuating.
He took offense because the reporter asked, paraphrasing, something like, "Hey, do you think today you'll listen to your assistants about taking guys out?" And he's like, "I always talk to my assistants."
Walked out. And then he walked out. Okay, all right. So
and then he proceeded. Let me tell you something. That guy is stubborn. He didn't play a center the entire game. And that's why Rudy Gobert had 27 points and 24 rebounds.
Well, maybe that's a reason that they're on vacation at this point, too, and booking trips to Cancun. Eric Bickle's also here wearing his Capitals gear.
Yeah, I'm
on a victory Thursday.
I'm feeling the spirit of it. I was moved watching the game yesterday. Very, very impressive.
Of course. So the Capitals advance. They dispatch of Montreal in five games. The Gentlemen's sweep. They send them back to Montreal and back to their trash fans. Huh. And they are now on vacation as the Caps advance. They win a playoff series on home ice for the first time in a decade. And a decade.
And it's the first series win in the playoffs since they won the cup.
That is correct. Seven long years.
Which is kind of crazy. It's a crazy stat.
So the season continues. The Capitals will be facing the Carolina Hurricanes in the next round of the Stanley Cup.
Do we know when that starts?
Haven't seen any start times yet for that. But I'm sure that'll be coming out in the next few days.
I'm going to guess that's going to be Monday. Maybe Tuesday?
Not sure.
Cakes, I think you have some work to do.
I think I do. I think we have some work to do. We're stuck on 13. We're stuck on the Baker's dozen. So now we will tick that down to a dozen wins for the Stanley Cup.
So I think, I guess the Caps, what they do is they take pucks, right? They put them in the locker room, signifying each win. That's my understanding.
Yeah, I think the other day the guy, they got the puck, put it in the wrong slot.
Is that right?
Yes, it's correct. Yeah. I can't remember who it was, but he definitely put it in the wrong spot. And then all of his teammates chastised him and said, you got to put it in the other spot.
Right, right, right.
Do the Stanley Cup playoffs, does the schedule, do they wait until all of the first round series are over before they start the second?
I think that's the way they like to do it, because they like to have like synergy. They don't want the second round starting, I believe, before the first round is done.
Right.
In you know, like in the different conferences.
Right.
So I think the Caps, they're going to probably be playing a waiting game at this point, at least for a few days.
So early next week, which would be nice to get a little time off.
I don't know. I don't know exactly how it's scheduled.
I don't either. I'm just guessing that way.
But listen, unbelievable, great performance last night. You know, their goalies, I was tweeting about this yesterday, their goalie was absolutely unbelievable too at times. Logan Thompson made some huge saves, obviously.
Yeah. Logan Thompson was awesome. But that save Dobesh made on Willie from point blank.
That was crazy.
That was pretty impressive.
It was crazy.
He's not as good as our guy. Our guy has been outstanding the entire series. Well,
and in the first period, you saw, I mean, the Caps just came out with, it was a fury. I mean, they were on fire.
And the weird part about that is they were getting outshot,
they were getting
too.
Outshot.
Like they were carrying the action, but they were getting outshot like 9-2.
But the outshot thing is, and I was reminded of it as I was watching it, is we were taking shots, but they weren't counting because they weren't on cage.
It's one of the dumbest rules, I think, in all of sports.
Yeah.
You can get a quality look at the goal, but if it doesn't,
I can't remember
it's
who
not
what.
Right on the net.
What capital was it that just he missed up the bar by an inch, and he doesn't get credit?
Doesn't
with
count
it.
As shot. And so it looks more lopsided if you're just looking at it from a stats perspective. Yeah. I think at one point it might have been like 8-1 or something. I mean, I could be wrong. Might not have been that disparate, but I looked at it and I went, well, that's definitely not true. I've seen like 5 shots, and then I had to remind my brain, oh, they're only counting ones that are on cage.
And a lot of the Canadian shots in the first period were right in Logan Thompson's belly.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, they had no shot of going in.
It's certainly not a perfect stat.
Yeah, it's not.
But but you can look at it sometimes and go, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
But they played great.
Get in my belly!
Obviously, it was a favorable matchup for them. You felt the inevitability of it as the series progressed. But, man, I'll tell you, I watch these games like a big scaredy cat. I really do. I have confidence in that they're a good team, but I don't have any sort of bizarre confidence that we're just going to mow through these teams.
No, of course not.
This is a juggernaut of teams.
They're minefields to get through these Stanley Cup playoff games. But it did give...
And I feel like a lot of luck goes their way, too.
Gave me great pleasure that Willie got the third goal, because I know that there had to be a lot of Montreal fans' tears flowing up north, which gives me great pleasure at this point.
Right, right.
To see that fan base just tortured by Tom Wilson and the Caps, and got sent home, and the Caps are advancing, makes me feel good right here in my ticker.
Do they do the handshake line?
Yes,
they
do.
They did that?
It's very cool.
So Willie and Josh Anderson
shook hands. Yeah.
They talked for a second.
Yep.
The respect they have. Listen, all those guys, even when they beat the hell out of each other, they respect each other when it's all said and done. Yeah, they know what they're doing.
It's
like,
so weird.
I think about it a lot when there's these little scrums in front of the goalies, and both teams are just doing what they're supposed to be doing. The offensive team is trying to stick at that puck, get to that puck, get to that puck, try to get it in, and the defensive team is trying to protect their goalie.
Yep.
They know what, and then when they start scrumming, they know what they're doing. They're each doing what they're supposed to do. So at the end
I
of
get
the day,
that, but when you have a bench fight and Willie and Anderson are trying to kill each other on the bench,
it's part of the
which
game.
You never see. I get it.
Yeah.
It's just strange that after a series, they dap each other up. Hey, man. Good game,
hey,
good series.
Say, hey, you know, good fight,
it's
whatever.
It's just weird.
It might be weird, but they let it go.
I know.
You're not good at letting it go. You're a grudge holder.
Yeah. Well, I would think some of those guys would be too, but I guess
they
not.
I guess not. It's a
really classy thing, and I made sure my daughter, who's still with us, you know, we have one still at home, I made sure she watched the line, and she thought that they do that after every game. I go, no. They only do this after the playoff series.
Yep, just at the end of the series.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of trifling when you watch an NBA game and the game ends, everybody just rolls out. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the guys hug each other. But, you know, bizarre how the coaches don't, you know, shake hands. Like the regular season games, they just walk off. I don't know. I like it when you shake hands. I think it's respectful.
Baseball, they don't.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
But
it's a cool tradition.
Football, they give you a fake handshake. At least they we always analyze the fake handshake.
I just like it. I like the.
Yeah, I like it too.
I like the routine of it. I like this the symbolism of
the respect.
Yeah, yeah. Baseball's a little different because they're on opposite dugouts. They're not quite as close to each other sometimes. I don't know. I like it. I like it. And it was an unbelievable series. I was completely transfixed by it. So, ready for the next
one? On to the next.
On to the next challenge.
Get that schedule. Figure out
the next one.
Week and a half.
I do watch the game like a big scaredy cat, though. I don't have a bunch of confidence. I'm just scared.
I don't know. The way they came out of the gates in the first period last night just felt like it was going to be their night.
Yeah.
They were just on fire.
Locker talked about how they were moving their feet and they were skating so well.
Yeah.
So. Hey, Mike Marr was there. He took advantage of the offer.
Very good.
Our guy Chris from PNC Bank sent me an email, and I couldn't go because I had some other obligations. And I just threw it out there to all of you, and I was like, I don't know if any of these guys are going to take up on it. But Mike Marr went to the game. What was it like, Mike?
Well done, Mike.
Did you send me an email?
Yes.
I never saw it. What, an email?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll never check the email.
Mike Marr?
Yeah, I was boots on the ground, man. Let me tell you, that's a tough barn to play in. It's just a matter of time till that ticker that cakes keep changing is down to Zippy. Because this is a Stanley Cup team.
I like that you're not hyping up Bell Center, which, by the way, is going to be quiet on Friday night. Just
it is.
Whisper quiet.
Well, you got that right.
That just makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
Continue with your praise of Capital One.
But yeah, big shout out to Chris, man. I mean, that was just an awesome experience. Right at the center ice, in the suite, unlimited drinks, unlimited food.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a great time. I'm butt tired right
now. Did you
go
by yourself or did you bring one of your boys?
So I asked him if I could get a couple tickets, and he was like, no. So yeah. I tried
one.
Yep, I went by myself.
Solo,
Metro
man.
Down.
It's okay.
Yeah, but met some cool people in the box, had a great time, and then got home not too late. But yeah, I'm definitely tired
right
now.
Were you wearing Caps gear, I hope?
Oh, yeah. I was dripped out in the red.
Okay, perfect.
Blending right in.
Very good. Good to hear.
And by the way, it goes without saying that Ovi goal off the faceoff win was one of the more exciting, most dynamic things I've ever seen. So quick. Goalie never had a shot.
Yeah.
That was just one of the slickest maneuvers overall, just like coordinated team play.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stromer with the perfect draw right back to him.
I mean, yeah, and then of course Ovi's just going to bury that 100 times out of 100. I mean,
great commentary by Joe B too, because he was like, that puck bounced off the back of the net and was out past the goalie before he even knew what was happening.
The puck comes at him so fast you can't even see it.
I mean, no one in the world can stop that.
Especially since he was only, was he 15 feet away?
I mean,
from
it was point blank
probably
range.
12
feet,
10
yeah.
to 12.
You just got no shot.
Point blank range.
That puck's probably going 90 plus miles an hour from 12 feet away.
Yeah.
Good luck tracking that and trying to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. Gentlemen, sweep for the Caps. They advance. They move on. It is a victory Thursday here on The Fan. We'll be reveling in the Caps win all show long. And you're welcome to call us throughout the show, of course, 800-636-1067 on an open line Thursday.
Dominating right circle, Suzuki. Low now to Demidov. Side of the net.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
front. One-timer from Suzuki knocked down and kept to the outside. Demidov continues. 1:38 left and a glove save made by Logan Thompson.
It's huge. I mean, no game in this league is ever easy, and, you know, it's even harder once you get to playoffs. So, you know, honestly, I think, you know, neither one of those games could have gone either way, right? So the series could be could have been different. So, again, you tip your hat to them. It's a well-coached team and a lot of potential over there.
That's Logan Thompson giving the Canadians some love. Danny, you said this. I want to double down. That is a really talented young team.
Yep.
They picked first. They picked third in recent years. They've been brutal for the last few seasons since their deep run about four seasons ago. And they're going to be a handful, and they just need more experience. We saw this with the Caps when they were very young and made the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
You get outclassed, you go up against someone bigger and more physical, who's more experienced, and you make some mistakes. But they were a pain in the butt. Like, that's a 4-1 series, and the margins in this league aren't that big anyway. But one of those wins is in overtime. You know, a couple of the lopsided games were empty net goals that were scored. It was basically, until Game 5, one-goal games in the wins throughout the series. So I give them all the credit. High marks. Watched the handshake line last night. I'm always curious to see after a long series, and this one wasn't that long, but you know, Tom Wilson was a marked man, and they had so many little cheap shots and chippy things against him. What's that look like? And he had some really long, good embraces with some of their guys. But you could tell there was some respect and some reverence that they earned the Caps' admiration as that thing went on.
You know what it reminded me of? And I don't know, it's not exactly analogous, but that young Bullets team, with Howard and Weber and Strickland and all those guys, when they went up against the Bulls. I'm not saying the Caps are the Bulls, but you see my point. When the Bulls were better, that was obvious. It was clear from the jump. But it was one of those, damn, that wasn't a cakewalk. That wasn't as much fun as we would have liked to have had. We would have liked to have guys with our feet up. We'd like to have guys, you know, dominated this series, and it didn't go that way. The Bulls won it because they were way better. But that was one of those, okay, hey, tip of the cap, and to your point, kind of that handshake line.
Grant and Danny's poll of the day today, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long-distance, residential, commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We're asking you on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account right now who your number one star of the series was. 68% of you are saying Logan Thompson, the netminder. 14% saying Dylan Strome. By the way, he had 9 points. Nobody else on the team had more than 5 points in the series. Stromer, fourth right now in the NHL in points this postseason.
Attaboy.
Through just 5 games. Could not have been better. Ovi scored 4 goals. He's getting 12% of the vote. And then Connor McMichael, who had 3 goals in the series, getting 4% of the vote. So you can go vote right now on Twitter at 106.7 The Fan. It is our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. An opportunity for you guys to hop in on the phones at 800-636-1067. The Caps are moving on. Let's go to JR in Boston on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up? Listen, this series was great and encouraging. Like, I know I'm a hater. I've been down on the Caps at times, but they came out 4 of the 5 games and, like, dominated. Like, I was a little concerned because throughout this entire season, they don't have the killer instinct. How many games did they go by 2 goals and they, like, teams back into it? They went up 2-0, and then they had, you know, they decided in Game 3 that we should come out and, like, you know, give them their first 4 goals. It was insane how bad they played that. But, like, for having to come back and then to start off the way they did, but then finish as a team, like, Logan Thompson playing out of his mind, but the team came through and finished in Game 5. When was the last time, even through, like, when they won the Stanley Cup, did you see them actually dominate and work their way through a game instead of, like, I'm encouraged to go, and I'm dying to know, knowing that they have the skill, they have the depth, they have the coaching and clearly the goaltending. What is your expectations? What is a healthy expectation finish for this team? That's what I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, so
thank you, bud.
Look, hockey postseason is so quirky that my answer is probably not going to give you the meat on the bone you want. I think it is utterly unpredictable. One of the reasons that I have been one of the calmest people in the DC media largely about many of the early exits and only having one conference finals appearance during this era and only the one cup is, I think hockey is a silly game played on ice, and I think weird things happen. And in a way where I will hold teams accountable in other sports where you dictate more of the result, it's not necessarily that way in hockey. Now, if you play a bad game, I'll call you on it. If your energy's not there inexplicably in the postseason, if you make terrible mistakes or have awful giveaways like they did in a really bad defensive Game 3 in Montreal, you're going to draw my ire. But largely speaking, when you play a pretty quality series, when you tilt the ice and you get more shots and more chances and you lose hockey games because you had a puck going off of a defensive player's skate or whatever, I'm just not that upset as I am in other sports. So I say all that to tell you, I got no clue what's going to happen. I think Washington playing its best game is a little bit better than Carolina playing its best game. That's what I think. The only time they've really had problems this regular season with the Canes was on the second night of back-to-backs on the road at their building. Otherwise, they had success. They were the better team in those matchups, and they won. I get why the Hurricanes are favored. Absolutely, I do. I had more confidence that Carolina was going to advance in five or fewer against Jersey than I did Washington with Montreal, and I think that's what the odds makers are looking at. There's a history here, clearly. The Caps are an older team, which oftentimes means you wear down a little bit sooner into the playoffs. But my question to answer your question would be, number one, how does Logan Thompson play in this series? If he plays at the same level he just did, they win the series. He just had a .925 save percentage and made some ridiculous stops. He's the better goalie in the series. If so facto, you win the thing. And do they play their best game? Because if they come out and they play four A versions of their game and a couple B games, I think in a seven-game series, they beat Carolina. But if you tell me they only find their A game twice and it's a couple of B games and then three C games, you probably lose in seven. But I have a hard time predicting the NHL playoffs. I probably will pick, if I need to, Carolina in seven maybe, but I think the best version of the Caps is better than the best version of the Canes.
Hmm.
You just got to find your game, and I trust Spencer Carberry to get the guys there.
Yeah, I think he pushes all the right buttons, says the right things, does everything. It's just, to me, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit shell-shocked from how well I saw Carolina play when we played them. I know they didn't finish with as many points, and you know, they struggled down the stretch for a couple times, you know, as the Capitals were sort of on cruise control heading into the postseason. They're favored for a reason, I think, kind of to your point. So my hope is that you get out of this series, you win it, and then, you know, then as you said, it's up to the fates, up to the gods, whatever you want to call it, hockey, puck luck, mojo, whatever. It wasn't the best Caps team that won the Stanley Cup. Same way it wasn't the best Nats team on paper that won the Stanley Cup. So who knows about that? To me, this is kind of what I wanted. This reminds me of those times before they won the Stanley Cup where I'm going, I just need you to get further than you've been. Losing in the second round, well, incredible that you have this run where you're always there, and I'd rather you be there than not. It's just, it's hard for me to get excited about anything when we're going to lose to Pittsburgh in round two or when you're going to lose to the Rangers or whatever. They've kind of done the thing that they haven't done in 6 years for me, right? Where they go, you're out of the first round. It's not the same as it was. They might lose to a better team right here. So I know it sounds like loser talk maybe to some. Obviously pulling like hell for them. It's going to be crushing to lose to a team that I hate if that does happen in Carolina. I think if I had to make a pick, probably say Canes win in seven games. Is it absolutely possible and even plausible, even fairly likely that Washington emerges victorious? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that they can win every single game against Carolina. And if that's the case, then you can absolutely win the series. And I think this will be arguably the toughest opponent they play in the Eastern Conference. For whatever reason, as good as I think Florida is, I think Washington matches up better with them. They tend to score a lot of goals against Florida, against a pretty respected goaltender, oh, by the way. But this year, for the record, for people that are wondering, Carolina and Washington played four times. They always do. The Canes won two of the four games and got points in three of the four. The Capitals won the first game 4-2. That was way back in the first week of November.
Mm-hmm.
Almost irrelevant to me at this point. You're talking about the early weeks of the season. They played once just before Christmas, and in that game, the Canes won 3-1. And again, so early in the year, I'm just not sure how much I care about that necessarily. But in the two most recent games, which were at the very end of the season, April 2nd and April 10th, the Capitals got a 5-4 win in a shootout, which was a game in which they came back and got some late goals, and they got beat 5-1 pretty handily, like just dismantled.
Yeah, it was a throttling,
And that was one of their worst games of the year, remember, when they started fighting everybody in the third period.
Mm-hmm.
You were upset because they kind of were just getting blown out and said, all right, we're taking a
pound of
flesh.
Let's swing some, yeah.
But they didn't like a couple of the hits. But yeah, they got completely destroyed. I think that's what you're thinking about when you think about the matchup. I just think that was one night on a back-to-back that probably doesn't have a lot of relevance going into this series. Annie's in Alexandria, wants to hop in and talk about the Caps after their series clincher. What's up, Annie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I would like to say that Dylan Strome, I know, Grant, you just mentioned, but I think he had 9 points throughout the series. He obviously had that great clean face-off win there was one play where he like dished it high up and basically forced the goalie to cover, and that led to offensive face-off zone in a crucial part. I just think he has high IQ and can see the play before like the develop. As
so true.
Like you're 100% right.
My star.
He makes the right decision all the time in the offensive zone. Do you realize in their first three games, they're game winners, which came late, right? So it was obviously an overtime game winner for Ovi. Mm-hmm. Then you had the game winner in Montreal with 4 minutes left from Monge. He had the primary assist on all three of those goals, whether it's dropping a pass and leaving it behind him in the O zone for Mangiapane to bang it home, whether it's finding Ovechkin with an awesome pass in overtime. 9 points, by the way, in five games. Only McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Kempe have more in the postseason right now. In addition to that, he had the best five-game stretch by a Capitals player in terms of points to start a postseason that we've seen in this era. Second best behind, I think it was, I got to think of who it was that I saw. Maybe Cote, I think, maybe. I have to look it up. But there was a Capital in like 89-90 that had a better stretch of five games to start a postseason. That's it, other than Stromer this year. So the way he's playing, if you wanted to make him your elite player of the series.
No issue with that.
I got nine reasons why that makes sense. 9 points.
He was fantastic. I mean, to me, he's going to be tested again in this round. Full 200-foot game. You got to be accountable defensively. You've got to make the right play all the time. I mean, when he's right, and he's right now, there's a lot of Backstrom to his game to me, right? Where it's the always under control, always head up, always the right pass. He's just such a solid, always make the right decision type player. Right? Never trying to do something where it's like, you know, if there's a moment where it requires something fancy, the saucer pass or some fancy footwork or stick handling, he'll do it. But it's not one of those, he's going to try it and then all of a sudden it's a 3-on-1 rush the other way because he tried to be a little too frisky. Just making the right call all the time, you play solid, you end up with some pretty good results.
I owe an apology. It was a Hall of Famer who I was sleeping on. And it's a guy I can only say his name as if I was Craig Lachlan. Dino Ciccarelli, Joby.
Oh, it's Dino.
Dino had more points than Dylan Strome. So give me your Caps elite player of the series from Elite Power and Energy Corporation.
Logan Thompson. I mean, to me, I thought he was spectacular. The one game where it wasn't spectacular, they ended up losing, but I think withstood so many of those desperate Montreal rushes, whether it was in the third period of game one, whether it was, frankly, the third period of game two, the onslaught to start this one. They don't win this series the way that they did without him in my mind.
So I'm going to be a hipster, as I am wont to do with the National Hockey League. I'm going to go Trevor Van Riemsdyk as my sleeper. I thought he was just sneaky awesome defensively. A couple of mistakes, but you're always going to be able to find those over five games from a blue liner. But I thought mostly he was great. And actually, Carbs singled him out in front of the team last night in the dressing room after the game. And then I would say, you know who was so good in this series was Matt Roy. Another defenseman that you never notice because he's just a stay-at-home guy. Kind of like a younger Brooks Orpik type almost. Not as physical, but just never going to help you offensively very much. And because of that, there's not going to be a lot of Roy number three sweaters floating around the arena. But damn if he's not important. And I just thought circuit to circuit in this series, when he was on the ice, I felt good. I was comfortable because he's out there and he's going to make the right decision. I thought they had a few defensemen like that. Alexiev stepping up for Ferravari.
How about the little stick handle for a scoring chance down low from Alexiev? I'm going, okay.
Who took Sandin in our draft yesterday?
Topes.
I joned on them. He had three shots on the cage in the first 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He was activating. He was in the rush.
High noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. B. Mitch, I'm Finley live at the Rude Employee Appreciation Day. Ribs are coming out of the smoker. It's going to be a good time out here, man. Beautiful day outside, too. I mean, seriously, couldn't get a nicer day. We're going to be joined by Smokin' Al Koken here in just a few minutes. Smoke was obviously part of the monumental coverage last night. Caps Game 5 win over the Montreal Canadiens, the Habs. I just got these odds sent to me. Who do you think's the favorite in this series, B? Washington does have home ice advantage. They get, if it goes 7, they get 4 games at home. We're going to talk to Al Koken right now. Maybe he could tell us. We're going to get back to the odds in a minute, but Al Koken joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Smoke, how are you, sir? What a win last night.
That was really great, JP. It was, I think, something they absolutely needed. Look, yep. They could have gone back to Montreal and won Game 6. They could have come home and won Game 7. But I think collectively, a little time off will help. But I think more importantly for the confidence of this group, getting that job done in 5 games the way Florida did it in their series and the way Carolina did it in theirs was pretty important.
Al, last night I was there and I sat and I watched them. And I think that's some of the best hockey they played in a long time, where they were fast, they were heavy. I mean, they played great defense. And then Thompson was unbelievable. Do you agree?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. You know, they talked about it before the game that they needed to play their best game of the series. I still think, B, there's another level they can get to, you know, tighten up a few things. I mean, early on, thought they had a few too many turnovers that made Logan Thompson have to jump into the game pretty quickly. But I agree. You know, you could also see, too, that this Montreal team has got a lot of really good young talent. But one of the strengths of this Capital team all year long, and they're going to need it because they're playing a very similar team in this regard in the next round, Carolina, the Capitals have 4 lines they can count on. You saw last night at one point Martin St. Louis took Nick Suzuki off his number one line to put him with 2 other players to try and create a second line. And one of the things, as I said, the Capitals have is 4 lines that you can get out there. So Carolina plays 4 lines. You're going to need 4 lines. And I think you saw it last night where when you get that rotation going, when you get everybody involved in the game, you can see where the Capitals' strengths really lie. And it came to the forefront last night.
Well, you talk about going 4 lines deep. Getting Protas back certainly helps with that. What did you think? I mean, just the size of that dude on the ice is stands out. But what did you think of his return, and how important is that, especially for this next round?
It's huge, JP. Right off the bat, you watch the first 4 games, and the Caps did a number of good things. But when he comes in that lineup, that reach of his, when he, you know, on skates, 6'6", that long stick, and then I've always marveled watching the vantage point I have, a great spot there near in the Zamboni corner. And it's always fascinating to watch defensemen on other teams that haven't played Protas. They think they've got a little time to make a play, and then suddenly, I think somebody kind of referred to it like Inspector Gadget. This thing comes shooting out there, and that stick and that long reach, and it pokes the puck free. And he's so good at creating those turnovers, and once he creates the turnovers, he's got the skill to do something with it and the size to hold on to it. So bringing him back into that series, getting him a game before he's got to face a very tough Carolina team, I think was really huge for the Capitals. To be honest with you, I was a little surprised at how many minutes he played, but it was good to get him back into action, and it's going to be a real valuable addition. I don't know if he stays on that line with Dowd and Duhaime. Maybe that's how they start the series and see what happens, but just having him back there gives them another weapon that was missing in those first 4 games.
Thompson, though, his game last night, man, they tried to press a little bit. The Canadians did, but he just erased all of that.
That's what you need this time of year, right? I mean, a goaltender can cover up for a number of different mistakes and particularly keep a team in it early. I think at one point I look up at the shot clock, I think it was like 8-1 shots on goal for the Montreal Canadiens, and some of those 8 shots were high-quality scoring chances. So Thompson kept them in early before they found their stride. Obviously, the Ovechkin goal really got things going, but absolutely, B. I mean, you know, whether it's the start of the game to keep them in it or whether it's late in the game to protect that lead, that, you know, goaltending this time of year is magnified. It's such an important position to begin with, but this time of year, you really start to see the difference between elite goaltending and just good goaltending. And to go as far as you need to go, you've got to have elite goaltending. And right now, Logan Thompson is showing you he's capable of doing that. Now, as I said, it's a different animal that they're facing in Carolina. Not only are they a 4-line team, but they're a high-volume shot team. They want to shoot from everywhere. They're looking for, you know, deflections, traffic. They're looking for those screens from the point. All those things are going to come into play here. So you're going to see a kind of a different style of play, a different type of team that they're going to face with Carolina. So that's where I think, you know, knowing that Logan Thompson's got everything kind of ramped up. He's going to see more volume of shots too, and that's going to be very, very important for the Capitals now that he's going to be able to take that next step with a different style of team he's facing.
Talking with our friend Al Koken, Smokin' Al Koken. You can follow him on X at Real Smokin' Al. Of course, Al joins us via the Rude Guest Hotline. You can watch all of his work covering the Capitals on Monumental Sports Network, all the interviews, all that stuff down on the ice. Smoke, specifically with Thompson, you know, it was only two games ago. The end of game three, he had to be helped off the ice, and it looked like I was worried it was another head injury after what he dealt with at the end of the regular season. There was a lot of speculation that it was a knee or something. He was back in game four. Played, I mean, the glove save he made last night late in the third was incredible. What exactly happened with Logan, and how tough must this guy be? I mean, all these guys, yeah, but specifically for a goalie like that.
Yeah, well, I was sharing your concern on either injury, and the way he was being helped off the ice made me think it's a lower leg injury, it's a knee injury, something like that, because it looked like he couldn't put any weight on it. I guess as it turned out, he did admit that he got dinged. But I think it was more about he was a little wobbly. So that's why he needed help off the ice, as opposed to I can't put any weight on my leg. And that once that was kind of solved, and then when I saw the next day, he was at their practice. Now, he didn't get on the ice, but seeing him at practice, getting treatment, things like that, said to me, if this was another concussion, they would have kept him away from everybody. You know, keep him in your room, keep him in the dark. You know, as V knows, you know, these concussions come in so many different, the symptoms come in so many different varieties, but a lot of it has to do with vision and light and dizziness and things like that. The fact that he was up and walking around with no limp gave me encouragement there, and just seeing him said to me that it wasn't going to be that serious. Because I think he did miss some time, earlier where he wasn't around the team, wasn't on the ice, and that's when I saw him the next day. I was like, man, that's a good sign, although I have to admit, I wasn't 100% sure he was going to be able to go in the next game, and as it turned out, he was able to, and it made a huge, huge difference in the result.
Huge difference. Talking with Al Koken here. You know what's funny, Smoke, is we've talked about Protas and Thompson and all this. Last night, the guy that got it all going, the first goal from the office on the power play, Alex Ovechkin. And it's like, not that we take it for granted, but I don't even, you know, for us to not discuss him until 10 minutes into our conversation or whatever, he's playing. There have been in the past playoff series where Ovi wasn't at his best. Hell, last year against the Rangers, I think he was playing through some injuries. Yeah. He wasn't at his best. He's playing lights out. He had four goals in five games in the first round.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've heard Spencer Carberry kind of talk about it, that he knows how much Alex was disappointed with what happened last year, his performance in what happened last year, and I think that was something that Alex was bound and determined to make sure wasn't going to happen again this year. And yeah, leading by example, I mean, that goal was so massive because, A, it got it really revved the crowd up. It got his team going. I think it put a seed of doubt then in the Montreal Canadiens, because that was an instant. That wasn't like late in the power play you get some home. That was literally the first seconds of that power play, and I think that kind of told the Montreal Canadiens, hey, if you think you can kind of run around and be physical with us, guess again, because we're going to make you pay one way or the other. And having four goals now in five games to start the playoffs at 39 years old, you know, that really bodes well. But you can see how last year bothered him, and he was making sure it wasn't going to continue this year, and leading by example in the same way that Tom Wilson has. I mean, both of those guys, when you think about the physicality that they've brought to this series to set the tone, you're going to have to do similar things, try and do the same things if you can. As I said, Carolina's a little different team. They're faster. They really depend so much on their forecheck to get things going. You've got to do the same thing that you try to do with Montreal, though, which is spend more time in their defensive end and wear their D down, and that's where the size of Ovi, the hits he threw in game one to set the tone, had seven hits in that game. That set the tone. He also scored, obviously, the overtime game, you know, the goal he scored there, that set the tone. All those things Wilson's really come through. Tom Wilson's going to have to kind of have that same impact on the series, because if you allow through the neutral zone against, you know, with Montreal, if you allow through the neutral zone with speed for Carolina, you're in trouble. They've got to be able to contain that, and the best way to do that is make them pay at their own end, make them work defensively to keep you out of their net.
But when you look at it, in your time watching the NHL, Ovi's a goal scorer. But hell, he's hitting as many people as Thomas.
No.
You know,
that's where you know by playing on teams, and you were a team leader in your own right. There are different ways to be a team leader. Some guys, when they speak up in the locker room, everybody gets quiet, and wow. You know, that's a message from this guy. With Ovi, it's never about the verbal message. It's always about the physical message. If I'm doing this, you've got to do it as well. And when you're the captain of that team and you set the tone there, who's not going to follow? Who's not going to then go and say, well, if he's hitting everybody, I better go out there and do the same thing. That's what's been so great about him over the years. He has a knack for knowing what is needed and when. Is it time to set the tone physically? Boom. Is it time to set the tone with a key goal? Boom. He knows how to deliver in those moments, and the team follows him into battle like that. That's been something that's been consistent with his career. But as it gets a little older, when you see him pick his spots now, during the regular season, you know, we've seen years where he's had many more hits during the regular season, but we've always found him in big games, and obviously in the playoffs, he knows when it's time to bring it. He knows when it's time to remind everybody, I still can get there at 240 pounds and literally make you pay the price. And yes, that has an effect in a playoff series, whether it's, you know, it had an effect in game one, but game one was all about if it happens to get to game seven. I've taken a piece of you every single game. You're not going to have much left if we have to get to game seven. And that's what he's always done throughout his career.
Talking with our friend Al Kokin here on the Rude Guest Hotline. If it ain't rude, it ain't right. Al Kokin, always right. Smoke, I did want to ask.
Occasionally rude, but.
I have never seen you be rude. I know that. Maybe Beamish has a different story.
You haven't driven with me, JP. That's what I'm
But, Smoke, I did at least want to ask you this. How about how much everything changed in game four when Tom Wilson laid that dude out?
Damn, it decapitated him.
A totally legal hit, too.
And everybody you talk to gives you the exact same answer. Everybody said that last night. I had an on-bench interview right after the game with Dylan Strome. The question I asked him was, what turned this series? And he looks at me, he goes, what do you think? I go, I think it was that hit. And he goes, absolutely. Everybody felt the exact same way. And when you think about it, It's again, we were just talking about the physicality, how you have to use what is your strength. This roster, just like it was in 2018, has been built to have size. Yeah, there's some smaller players on this team. You know, the Mangiapanis, who've been very, very effective, and, you know, Rasmus Sandin isn't the biggest guy in the world. But when you look at it, for the most part, this is still a roster with size and physicality, and you've got to play to your strength. But it was the impact of when it happened, not just that it happened. Down 2-1, you create the turnover, you take a guy, you know, who can't get off the ice in time to get a substitute, and you turn that into an instantaneous game-tying goal and completely flip the momentum around in that game and thus in that series. So it's great to have the impact of a big hit, as we talked about, to, you know, maybe make them pay the price later. But that was one of those moments where the hit paid off instantaneously, and from that point on, everything changed, and there's not a single player on that Capital team that won't point to that as being the changing point in the series.
It seemed like as soon as he hit him, he took the life out of him.
Yeah, totally. Life out of that building. Yeah.
That dude, the deuce, when he was trying to get off the ice, Al, he was laboring. He was hurt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and good for Carrier to come back last night, because there was a concern, because I think he missed practice the day before. So, you know, good on him to come back. But there's no question that the impact of that and what, you know, how do you answer that? You could try and answer it on your own. They've got a guy in Josh Anderson who is kind of like – quote unquote Tom Wilson light, but he's
he's just a little agitated. He's not tough as Tom.
Right, he's not the same player. I mean, you can think I'm going to go pay somebody else back, but Tom Wilson's impact is not just on the physical side of things. Look at all the big goals he scored. Look at the goal he scored last night, that power play. To get it to 3-0, at 2-0, it's still very much of a game. And obviously, at 3-0, when it became 3-1, it's still pretty much a game. But imagine if he had scored that power play goal, and then they get that lucky break to make it a 2-1 hockey game. Then we're talking about a completely different animal. So what Tom Wilson does is just so unique. He's not just a one-dimensional player. And I thought what Spencer Carberry said earlier in the series is so true. He says the reason so many people hate him is because you're jealous that you don't have him on your team. Because 100%. He truly is unique to the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Dude's a bad man, bro.
Smoke, do we know when we'll get the Caps schedule for the second round?
I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be this afternoon or something like that. I think a lot of this has to do with I don't think they want to get too far ahead of everything. For example, if let's say they said, okay, we'll let you guys start on Sunday. Well, what happens if there's a game 7 with Toronto and Ottawa? Okay. Well, then that would push the Florida and then the winner of that series back. And then what happens if there's some game 7s in the West? There's a lot of 3-2 series out there, but they could easily turn into 7-game series. So do you really want the Capitals and Carolina to start playing hockey where none of the other series have started yet? So I think that's a little bit about what the league is kind of waiting to see. You don't want to get one series so far ahead of everybody else. And I think that's kind of what they're waiting to see. If Toronto wins tonight, I think you'll hear something pretty quickly.
Okay, gotcha. And then lastly, Smoke, just switching gears a hair, because I know how much sports in this city you have covered. I was just curious kind of what you thought by the Commanders' announcement of their intentions to move back to RFK.
Delighted. I couldn't be happier. I understand there's a ton of obstacles, and I understand, you know, politics is going to come into this. But as somebody who, you know, when I first started working in this industry, working at Channel 5, working with the tremendous Bernie Smilovitz, one of the things I got to do was go down and cover the Redskins at RFK. And I'll never forget being there for that Dallas playoff game and being on the field, on the sidelines, and turning around and watching the stadium literally vibrate in front of me. And the enthusiasm and the passion and knowing that it was in your hometown, not in a suburb, it was in Washington, D.C., that meant something. And I couldn't be happier that it looks like that franchise is coming back to Washington, D.C. It's tremendous, and I hope they can work all the little side angles out. I understand. I'm somebody who looks at it as saying, I knew what the Chinatown area was before Abe Pollin, and to his credit, put a ton of his own money into it. I knew what that area was like. I know what it was like at Nats Park before Nats Park got there. I'm one of those people who sees the positives in these things. I see how areas completely develop around these new ventures. So when I hear people say, well, this city can't afford to put $1 billion in when we can't fix this and that and we need money for this, I get all that, and that all makes sense. But I also see what happens when those same arguments were made about now Capital One and specifically about Nats Park. You and I were working with Coach Thompson, right, when we were going through all of this stuff about we had politicians, how dare they? The schools need this. I get all that. But when you look at what has transformed around Nats Park, you're telling me that the city hasn't benefited many, many times over from the money they laid out for Nats Park by what they've gotten back in the development and the tax revenue and everything else that goes around with it. I think it's going to be the same thing with the new stadium on the old RFK site.
All right. Doc, Al,
he called you Doc. I mean, he called you Doc.
I was just looking at the show sheet. I'm sorry.
hey, if I'm compared to the great DOC, that's a compliment.
You guys look a lot alike. Smoke, give me a break. I think B. Mitch and I are both choosing to look at this through an optimistic lens and with a growth mindset, and it seems like you're doing the same. Thank you for the time, man. I know you're swamped, and can't wait to watch the next game.
Yeah, because this series is going to be as intense as this was. It's about to double up, so get ready, folks. It's going to be great.
All right, brother. Absolutely. That is Real Smokin' Al Kokin joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Give him a follow at Real Smokin' Al.
Look, I love our listeners, but they are such trained dogs that when I just tease the cap segment around the same time when we've given away Caps tickets in the past week and a half to the first round series, they automatically thought that when I just simply asked them, what's your confidence level heading into Caps Hurricanes?
We were giving away tickets.
Yeah, a billion people call in, not to talk about Caps Hurricanes. They thought I was actually just prompting them to call in for a ticket giveaway.
Gotcha.
We don't even know when game one is. It's not even on the schedule yet. Even if we had tickets to give away, that game's not even on the slate yet.
Right.
So all of you prize pigs, just calm down, keep it in your pants, relax a little bit. Hopefully we'll have tickets for that series to give away. I don't know that at this point, but we had a lot of tickets to give away during the Canadian series. Hopefully it happens for the Hurricane
series.
I'm
sure it will.
But we were just trying to talk Caps. That's all.
Yeah, and we want you to call. So don't just call in and be greedy. Yeah.
Talk to us about the series.
Call in and contribute. Are you, first of all, I'm nervous, but I'm nervous for every, like, they just played the 8th seed, right?
Yeah.
I was nervous. Yeah. Every game I was, I was confident, also
but
nervous.
I just think playoff hockey in general, like every game.
It's the nature of hockey.
It's stressful. Playoff hockey is stressful.
So it's not, and also just hockey. Just the you know, we talk about it every year, the bounce of the puck, the puck luck.
Yeah.
You know, you get out of position, you get a penalty here, whatever.
A weird bounce off the boards could come out in front of your goalie.
And you could be on the wrong side of it, and you could lose a game, the steal a
and
game.
And then overtime hockey in the playoffs?
That's legitimately terrifying.
Your heart's beating a million times a minute. It's really terrifying because it moves so fast.
Mm-hmm. I don't even understand why we're playing the two. Are they the two seed, you said? Why are we playing the two seed in the second round?
That's just the way that.
Why do they even do that?
Years back,
I know
they
used to reshuffle, right?
They used to rejigger the seeds, and the top seed would then face the lowest remaining seed. That's not the case anymore.
Right.
It's just the way the bracket is set up. They're going to face the two seed.
It seems crazy. This seems to me, from afar, as a know-nothing regarding hockey.
Right.
And a lot of things, but certainly hockey. This seems like a very challenging series.
They technically don't do the 1 versus 8. They do two different brackets, 1 through 4. So the fact that the Caps are in the same bracket as the Hurricanes, they were playing the 3 seed, which is the Devils. So the winner of that would play the winner of the 1 versus 4. So that's why they're playing the 2 seed.
If you want to chime in, 800-636.
So they don't do 1-8-2-7.
1067 is the number. So you can chime in on Open Line Thursday. This is something we didn't get to yesterday, just to shift topics for a moment. Is Buzz Peterson going to be silly at Maryland? Did you see they landed this McDonald's All-American kid?
Buzz Williams, right?
Buzz Williams.
What did I call him?
Buzz Peterson.
Buzz Williams.
Former North Carolina.
Darius Adams, who was a McDonald's All-American. He's brought in all these guys. I'm starting to get a vibe like he's going to be a home run hire.
He's a great hire. He might not play a style of basketball that people love, but he's a great coach. That's a proven fact.
He's been a winner everywhere he's been.
Yep. Yeah.
But he's never been to a Final Four, right? Or has he?
I don't believe he's been to a Final Four.
Elite Eight, I think.
I think he's a great coach.
When he was with
Marquette. I think he's an upgrade. I think Maryland actually did better. But,
I'm starting to think that.
Yeah.
This kid apparently was a 5-star McDonald's All-American. And, you know, I don't know these guys that are all these transfers. I mean, the whole team's going to be transfers. The whole team's going to be new. You're not going to know any of these guys. But their resumes seem like they're pretty good.
By the way, I can't believe what Rodney Rice got at USC.
Yeah.
How much did he get?
I mean, can we talk
$3 million,
about it?
$3 million, I think.
Well, I was told off the record, not even off the record, but behind the scenes, $3 million. But JP said it had already been reported in the last few days.
That is absurd. He's basically getting paid what? I mean, didn't Nick Dowd just sign a 2-year, $6 million extension?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making what Nick Dowd is going to make.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty insane.
Am I wrong?
And Rodney Rice was a really good high school player, obviously, and went to Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Had a thumb injury, but basically left Virginia Tech because he couldn't crack the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He thought I was going to be an instant starter.
Yep.
Now, he had an injury, but even when he was healthy, he couldn't crack the starting lineup. He was coming off the bench. He said, I'm done. I'm transferring.
Yeah, it's reported. Here's the story. This is, it says, the Tennessee Vols and head coach Rick Barnes are recalibrating. Hey, that's what Dan Quinn did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It said, shooting guard Rodney Rice, a standout from Maryland, had decided to not head to Knoxville, but instead committed to USC, reportedly lured by a staggering $3 million NIL deal.
Right. Yeah.
How can you turn that down?
So they had already gotten Jacoby Gillespie.
He's like a 21-year-old kid, hold on. Right? Like,
am I crazy? Didn't they initially announce he was staying at Maryland? I never heard that he publicly said he was staying. Okay.
Unless you saw that somewhere.
I thought I saw like an Instagram, you know, post of something, and he's like, I'm back or something.
Well, Terps fans, just get used to the names Elijah Saunders, Isaiah Watts, George Turkson, Andre Mills. You know, these are kids you've never heard of unless you followed these teams that they were transferring in from. One came from Virginia, so I'm sure that the Virginia fans know who he is. David Colt or Coit, Miles Rice, Solomon Washington. All right, these are the new Terps.
Mm-hmm. For next year.
Yeah,
because the following year, it's going to probably be a bunch of new guys, too.
For El Payne. I mean, just kids, you're just not
every
used to
year, it's going
to
be a new crop.
It's harder to follow.
It's very hard to follow.
It's nuts.
So it just depends. Like, I'll be honest with you, you got to win. If you win, I'll follow. That's it where I am in my life. You win, I'll follow. You lose, I don't have time for it. Just, I'll do something else. I'm not going to invest my time.
That's how most people are.
Got to be winners.
You got to be a winner.
I hear you. Winning's more fun than losing.
Winning's more fun. I don't have time to just sit there and grind out losses. I'm not interested.
I mean, when you're bringing all these new players in who've never, I mean, well, some of them have played with each other because a lot of them are coming from A&M, so they played with each other. But when you're bringing all these new players who've never played with each other and just trying to work the chemistry out, and then you're bringing some freshmen, high school seniors.
That's where I do think
it's crazy
that mid-majors still have a somewhat of a chance because they're not going to have the talent, but they will have the returning starters, presumably, and the experience. So I know that they were blanked in this tournament, like as far as doing anything.
But they're not going to have the starters that were good because those guys are bouncing for more money.
Yeah.
I
still think there's something to be said for team basketball and playing together for 4 or 5 years.
Well, you can still be competitive. You can think that, but I'm going to bet on the teams that have deep pockets and that can buy the best players.
That's true. But every year when you have to start over from scratch, you have an advantage in talent. There's no doubt.
Did you see the reported payroll for the University of Texas this season?
I did see it.
The football?
Football team. I think payroll. It's between $35 and $40 million.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah.
They had a $40 million payroll.
They're now legitimately a professional athlete in college.
Yes. Yeah, it's no longer.
At a Power Five.
They're no longer amateurs.
Like that. Yeah.
I mean, these are.
I mean, what's Arch Manning getting? Was he getting about $8 million of that? $6 to $8 million?
I don't know. He's getting
seen like a breakdown like on SpotRac like we do for.
Well, that's coming. Professional You're going to start sports. Seeing that.
What is the entire Washington Capitals payroll?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Probably. $85 or $90 million.
So now you got a college football team that the payroll is approaching professional, football or professional hockey payrolls. It's crazy, and so some of these basketball teams. Well, if USC is giving $3 million to Rice, he's a nice player. He's not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay. He's good. Is he an NBA player? Maybe.
Washington.
I would doubt it.
Washington's, yeah, he's fringe.
I mean.
Cap commitments for 2025 it's right at $100 million.
Okay. $100 million. So you're not quite to a professional hockey franchise.
But you're getting close to half that number. It's a pretty big number.
It's probably bigger than most MLS.
Well, how about this?
Payrolls.
Oh, yeah.
Messi gets paid.
The Miami Marlins 2025 payroll is only $70 million.
Right.
They're almost touching a professional baseball roster's payroll.
That plays 162 games.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's crazy.
I think we all agree. I don't begrudge the athletes. I'm happy for them and their families. I think it's great.
It's been a long time coming for those guys to get paid.
It's got to be a way to make it a little bit less chaotic.
Hey, maybe the Texas Athletic Department should have been on the side of one of their highways yesterday. Did you see that that a truck overturned and spilled its load on the highway. $800,000 worth of dimes.
Oh, really?
$800K in dimes.
Would you have gone scrambling?
Well, there's a pic of a cop picking him up by hand.
Yeah.
It's special, like, vacuum cleaners to suck up all the dimes and put them back in the truck.
All right, let's make out some of these calls. 800-636-1067. Obviously, you can chime in on whatever you want. In particular, I think we're geeked up. And can you play Bands of Make a Dance, please? Do we have that nearby? It's got to be our new theme song. Right, it's obviously been out there for a few months now. We need some sort of theme song. Let's jump on this. Let's get fired up. Let's go to Jim, Bethesda. Jim, what's up?
Hey, Junk. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Big thought here is we need more on the power play.
Yeah.
If they're going to stretch to Ovechkin, we got to make them pay down low or on the others.
Well, I will say it wasn't the power play. But as we talked about, and as obviously as the announcers, as Joe B. and Locker mentioned yesterday, the goal off the faceoff by Ovi and Stromer there was unreal. Literally picture perfect.
That was a power play goal.
That was on a power play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were 2 for 3.
Perfect.
Now, their power play still has warts. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but they were 2 for 3 on it yesterday. So that was a big improvement because they were 1 for 10. In games 1 through 4.
But they may have even scored on this particular one. Actually, I don't think they did. I think the one they didn't were even Locker mentioned in the middle of it. They've had like puck possession in their zone like for 20 seconds.
Right.
Hmm. This has been a disaster.
Carolina,
that's been happening too many times.
Yeah.
Carolina finished the regular season 25th in power play percentage, so near the bottom.
So their power play struggles, too.
Their power play struggles. Good. But let me look at penalty kill.
Yeah, look at their kill. See if
did our struggle on the year?
They were a little bit higher than that.
It was kind of a roller coaster ride. I believe they started slow, and then like in the middle of the season, it picked up. And then toward the end of the season, it was kind of a dud.
They finished 13th.
Right.
So that's upper
decent,
half.
Decent.
Yeah.
Decent.
But let me try and get the penalty kill numbers.
So I think this is... So, obviously, after we saw that goal, okay, you say it was on a power play.
Correct.
But there are draws all the time that are, you know, just in the flow. Is there enough time, if they wanted, where they could just trot out Ovi every time there's a freaking draw in their zone?
I think they tried it. I think they already tried to do that because they know he's such a weapon.
Because I remember there was one and he was still on the bench. And I was like, do they... you know, I don't know. I don't follow it that closely,
Carbs,
but now...
Carbs and his staff... They, on faceoffs, especially near the other team's goal, they want Ovi in there as many times as they can.
So they make an effort because there's a stoppage usually. Guys skate around for a little bit as they, you know, blow the whistle, whatever.
Yeah. During regular season, by the way, the Carolina Hurricanes penalty kill ranked numero uno.
Oh.
83%.
Wow.
Who, Carolina's?
Yes.
They're best in the league.
That's... not a great matchup. I'm not an analytics expert, as you guys know, but I know that probably doesn't bode well for the Capitals.
That's tough.
With a spotty power play during the first round against Montreal.
You're getting a little anxiety. You're getting a little rumbly and a tumbly right now when you see that.
I don't love that. I don't love that they were the best in the league. Not feeling maybe, great about it.
But it's, you know what I do love? I do love being an underdog, especially if you feel like you're being disrespected.
Oh, I feel like there's disrespect happening.
Yeah.
I do feel like the Capitals are being disrespected.
They should have an edge, right? Because it's,
well, I feel like they're the one seed. They should be the favorite heading into this series. With right. home ice,
but
I don't understand why they're such an underdog
but
at this point.
Well, because their opponent, obviously, very, very good. But this is better situation. I'd rather be the dog in a situation where you think you're actually even better. Right? It's a perfect scenario. But everyone else is picking them.
Right.
But you actually think you're better. Like, it's not even like
I kind of know that the Capitals are better top right. to bottom.
Right. So... they're in a perfect situation.
That doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win the series, but right. I just feel like they're the better constructed team
so
at this point.
Their numbers, perfect situation. Their numbers are pretty similar when you look at goals against, save percentage, not the penalty kill.
Right.
Because Washington's not number one in the league, but offensively, their numbers are pretty similar. So it's,
Capitals, by the way, no slouches. They were fifth in the league at
penalty kill?
At the PK.
All right.
So they're both very good at killing off penalties.
But it sounds like when we were talking to Neil, the way he was talking about the series, it sounded like he thought it was going to be kind of a shootout.
Feels like it's going to be shoo.
Well, because they score a ton.
They score a ton, yeah. I'm putting Logan, LT, I'm putting LT above their guy. Whatever that Russian's name is.
Goals per game, 3.5. I'll round it up for the Caps. Second in the league behind only Tampa. And Carolina, 3.24 goals per game.
Yeah, pretty much a toss-up.
So Caps have a decided edge in, I mean, a quarter of a goal more per game.
So say the number again, the two numbers?
Caps at 3.5 goals per game in the regular season.
Yeah.
Carolina 3.25.
That does seem like a somewhat significant difference, actually. I mean,
over 82 games.
That kind of does, especially when you're talking about such low numbers.
Correct.
Right? 3.5 to 3.25.
It's a big gap.
Where is that in ranking?
Caps rank second. The Hurricanes look like they're
13 or something.
You know, ninth.
Look,
ninth,
it's going to be a war. What Greenberg alluded to was the amount of shots that they fire. I'm just looking at the playoffs. Yeah. So forget about the regular season. In the playoffs, both these teams won their series 4-1.
Yeah.
Carolina puts up 36.6 shots per game compared to Washington's 27.8. Now, that's a sizable difference. So that's just their style of play. They're going to throw the puck at the goal all the time.
Mm.
You know what? Carolina's got a nubs power play, 18%.
Yeah. I mean,
they're nubs on the power play.
They're like 25th in the league.
Yeah, but we were what, 13th, you said?
Yeah.
I'd rather be 13th than 25th.
I know, but it ain't that great a difference.
It's 12 spots.
I thought you said 13th and they're 18th.
No, they're 25th.
On the power play, Carolina is 25th and the Caps are 13th.
Oh, okay. I thought you said, okay.
Advantage.
Yeah.
Capitals.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
But they are number one in the league at killing it.
That is correct.
4-1 last night to clinch this series 4-1. The Caps are on to the second round for the first time in 7 years. Waiting for them, the Carolina Hurricanes. Greg Wyshynski is the senior NHL writer at ESPN, and he joins us right now at Wyshynski on X on Twitter, Wyshynski. By the way, last night he had the over in the Blues-Jets game, and it hit. I just was scrolling through your timeline of the last 24 hours, and that game went 5-3. I believe that's 8. That's over 5.5. Winner. Do you get asked to do a lot of that for ESPN Bet?
Yeah, you know, I've been doing that show since it started when it was Daily Wager. I'm kind of their hockey guy. It's changed a little bit because I used to be more explicit with my picks, but since ESPN has its own sports book now, there's like some rules for insiders giving picks and stuff. So I've had to kind of like talk about it in a more nuanced way, but that does allow me to say, hey, I do believe the Jets and Blues will probably score at least 6 goals combined. and then we can take that information as it was, but it was interesting last night. The theory from the hosts on the show were, well, Connor Hellebuck's going to have a bounce back game. And I'm like, well, his bounce back game is still going to probably be a couple goals on the board. So I still expected it to be a high scoring game last night. It was.
Actually, that's interesting that you said that. So are for ESPN Bet, the sides, you know, teams rather than totals, that's frowned on right now because it shows some sort of bias, or is it? So are most of these on air wagers or on social media wagers? I'm not following it. I don't use ESPN Bet, and I'm sure it's great, but is that how it works with most of you guys who are on air and people know?
It's got nothing to do with bias, or it's got nothing to do with like you casting your lot for one team or another, because we do that before every playoff.
Sure.
I mean, like, you can go.
That's what I was going to
say. And Lord knows, you know, Florida Panthers fans have screenshotted my pick of the Lightning in 7 this morning and sent it my way on Twitter. So it's not about bias. I mean, I it's well above my pay grade, but I just know that, you know, the there is a discouraging of making like specific wagers, I guess, after ESPN Bet came online, and it's kind of just been that way since. Again, it doesn't bother me either way. I go on that show
to have some fun and share some information, whether it's like injury reports or my own insight. And, you know, in all honesty, it's made my life easier when we used to do Daily Wager and I would go on there and be like, I like so-and-such on the puck line. I felt a lot of pressure to be right because I knew that people were going to take my advice because they thought they know, you know, that I at least have a tangential knowledge of the sport. So it's made my life a little bit easier to know
dangerous.
That.
I think we've all learned over the years, sometimes too much information actually can work against you. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So it's made my life a little bit easier to not have to actually like go on there and be like, plant my flag on a pick or something.
Right. All right, let's talk Caps. Why did they win and win fairly easily in five games?
They were the better team. They were the deeper team. They were the more experienced team. They were the team with the better goaltending. I mean, pick your answer. I respect that Montreal managed to not be the team that fell down flat on its face at the end of the season in the Eastern Conference like everyone else around the bubble did and got in. I think it's going to really help their young players to have had this experience. But they were like, what, a minus 21 or 22 in goal differential? I mean, they weren't a very good hockey team. So the Capitals should have made quick work of them. They did make quick work of them. And I found it interesting that, you know, the one thing that wasn't really working for the Caps in the series did work really well in last night, which was their power play. It was 1-for-10 coming into game 5. And now, as we look ahead to the Carolina series, things get really interesting vis-a-vis what that power play does for the Capitals and how good Carolina is in preventing power play goals.
Before we get to Carolina, you mentioned goaltending. Just how good was Logan Thompson in this series? I know what his save percentage is. I can look at that. But, you know, beyond the being able to quantify it, he just seemed to make incredible timely saves as well. How would you describe his performance in the five games?
Well, miraculous in the sense that when he was injured, I thought he was cooked for the series, maybe for the playoffs. Like that guy might be Wolverine with his healing abilities, because like I did not expect to see him again against Montreal the way he came off the ice. But again, didn't miss a beat, came back in next game, and then we see what he did. It's what he's done at the peak of his powers during the regular season, being the great last line of defense, making good saves. Playing within himself, and there's no doubt that the way that he's played, and I'm not trying to shortchange Lindgren too, he's a good goalie too, but both of them have given this Capitals team the foundation on which they can build a lot of other great things this season. So he was really good, but you mentioned something about him making timely saves, and I think that's pretty much the story of the series for me, which is, you know, there's always that tension for the Capitals when they're really good and they're playing someone not as good in the playoffs. even with the Cup, there's that psychological baggage and damage from those years of playoff disappointments. And the most impressive thing for me about the Capitals, and I think Thompson's a part of this, is not giving any oxygen whatsoever to a Montreal upset bid. They win game one in overtime on the Ovi goal. They go to Montreal. They maybe have a little trouble spot here and there, but ultimately they win game four and kind of shut down any panic points in a way that, let's say, the Toronto Maple Leafs can't, to use that example. I was just really impressed with the efficiency of the Capitals and more than anything, their ability to not even give the Canadiens a sniff of a potential upset in the series. It was really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was one moment, and that is, you know, Montreal led in the third period 2-1 in game four with, you know, a chance to even up the series, and Wilson's hit really was significant. It led to the game tying goal, and the Caps went on to win that game. But it's interesting because you understand it, you've lived it, you've covered it. And I was going to ask you to talk about that in this context. I think we would all feel, and you would feel, had the series been 2-2, that Game 5 would have been one of those tension Caps games where it's like, oh my God, they're at home, are they going to blow it? Yet, many of the players on that team never experienced that, and the coach has never experienced that. So would it have mattered?
course it would have mattered. Because the fans have experienced it, and they're the ones who create the atmosphere in the arena. I mean, there's a reason the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won the Stanley Cup since 1967. It's not because Mitch Marner was on that 68 team. It's because you have fans that follow the Leafs generationally that have had the trauma of playoff disappointments. So even though the Capitals have a Stanley Cup banner in the rafters, the feelings that are left over from Game 7 losses to the Rangers and the blowing the Montreal series with Yaroslav Halak and those Penguins series, like all of that still lingers in the back of the minds. Those ghosts still exist inside the arena. And when, you know, when things aren't going right for the Capitals in a playoff series, they bubble back up to the surface. So even if the players aren't a part of it, they'll feel it, because anyone who's been in the arena during one of those series where things aren't going well, or all of a sudden they aren't meeting expectations, you can literally like feel it in the air.
It's so true. And I talked a lot about that going into the series. I think I even talked to you about it before the series began. And, you know, there was kind of this, what do they need to do, you know, since they haven't done anything in 7 years? They haven't won a series since the year they won the Cup. And I think now that they've gotten through this first round and did it impressively in a season that's going to be memorable, right, Greg, for OV number one, number two, you know, exceeding expectations wildly with respect to their regular season. And now I think they're in the clear. Now I think it's icing on the cake because they're actually an underdog in this next series. Do you agree with that?
Do I agree that they're an underdog, or do I agree that
no? Do you agree that now that everybody can exhale and they've accomplished, you know, they've gotten past the point in which people would have just absolutely eviscerated them? They got into this second round for the first time in 7 years, and if they lose to Carolina, people will understand because they're playing a team that's actually, you know, favored.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think the baseline for the Capitals in this phase of the franchise was always relevancy. And you know, we've talked before, me and you, about the difference between what the Capitals did to surround Ovechkin with a playoff quality team and what the Penguins didn't do in surrounding their core with the same kind of team. And so while the Penguins are flopping and flailing and parting ways with their coach and wondering what the next phase is going to be, not only do the Capitals have a playoff team on their hands and one that I think is going to play in the conference final, and that's a spoil of my pick or anything. But also one that has given us a nod to the future in the way that Protas has played, in the way that McMichael has played, in seeing Ryan Leonard. Like, we're getting a vibe of, you know, Ovechkin has captured the record. He probably has another year left at the, you know, maybe two at the most. But now you can be confident that things are progressing in a positive way post Ovechkin. And, you know, if they push through and play for a championship, that's awesome. But like you said, I think the first round playoff win just adds to the proof of concept about where the franchise is headed.
Yeah, I mean, you started that, and we have talked about this, about Pittsburgh not surrounding Crosby and the Caps doing a better job of surrounding Ovechkin. These are two franchises that have stood side by side with two superstar players, you know, in an era that's, you know, been almost defined by those two players. And even though they've got three cups and the Caps have one, it seems to me that what you're saying is the Caps actually are better at roster construction.
At this point, for sure. I mean, and you know, maybe not in the height, the apex of the rivalry and the apex of the Penguins' time as a contender, where they did a really good job of building out their bottom six and bringing on people like Phil Kessel and others that really did make a difference on that team. But, you know, you've got to give the Caps their credit for having that sense of transition and having the pipeline from Hershey and having the management team in place to identify players that they've bought low on and that have really, you know, flourished, like Strome, or, you know, now you're seeing Dubois and Chychrun kind of do the same thing. Like, it's been really impressive to see how they've been able to maintain success while the Penguins and the Blackhawks too. I think you could put them in there as well as you know, another team that was sort of dynastic at the same time as Pittsburgh was, had to really, you know, either you have one team that's scratching and clawing and trying to stay relevant in the face of what should be a rebuild, and then another team in Chicago that had to go into a complete rebuild, and the Capitals haven't.
All right, let's talk about the next series. You didn't have to spoil it, but you did, and that's fine. But why do you like the Caps to beat Carolina?
I think the Caps' cohesion is incredible. I love the vibe of the team. I love the fact that they are getting contributions from throughout their lineup. And I think that for the second straight series, with due respect to Freddie Anderson and what he's able to do when he's healthy and when he's in the lineup, I think the Capitals have a goaltending advantage in this series. I'm not trying to poo-poo Carolina. Like, Carolina could win the cup if things go right for them. They're a very sound team with players that can make a difference offensively. And their special teams are pretty great, especially their penalty kill. I watched them in every game against the Devils though, and left very unimpressed. I look at the Capitals and I look at the Carolina Hurricanes, and this is a manageable matchup for Washington. This is not a distinct disadvantage. They are not a deep underdog. I think the way the Caps are playing right now, and like you said, getting through this series with Montreal and feeling a little bit of confidence, I think they're going to play for a conference championship. Now, I think they're going to lose to whoever comes out of the Atlantic, but I do think that they're going to get past Carolina.
So who will come out of the Atlantic?
Florida. I mean, I picked the Lightning because they had played really well in the regular season, and I figured this collection of Lightning players was going to be able to match the Panthers' depth, and I thought Vasilevskiy was going to be a big difference in the series. And you know, they're still Florida, man. They're just great. They are the team right now. They are the team to beat. Their core group of players can beat you offensively or punch you in the mouth. The augmentations they've made to the roster, like Brad Marchand, our old friend Nate Schmidt, like all those guys have worked out great. Bobrovsky does what you need him to do in the playoffs in big spots. Like, they're just really well built, and they're playing with a confidence right now that is extremely rare in this sport to have for three consecutive seasons. But I mean, they punched Tampa in the mouth, and Tampa staggered and didn't know what to do, and you know, relegated Nikita Kucherov to one assist and four losses, which is, I mean, insane. So it's Florida. I'd be shocked if it wasn't Florida.
So you like Florida and the Caps in the Eastern Conference Final, with Florida advancing to try to defend the cup they won last year. The West, you've got four incredibly competitive series. We've got four game sixes. What's stood out West?
The Dallas-Colorado series was always the one that I thought was the most interesting, and it's remained that way. I'm shocked that we're where we are in the Dallas series. Like, I picked Dallas to win the series because I picked Dallas to win the cup. So if I'm going to look smart, then I got to ride that train. But I didn't think that without Miro Heiskanen and without Jason Robertson, they'd win the series, let alone have a chance to eliminate Colorado in game six. And if you're Colorado, with all of the augmentations you made to your roster, whether it's blowing up your goaltending for Mackenzie Blackwood or, you know, acquiring Brock Nelson and Ryan Lindgren and Charlie Coyle at the trade deadline, getting your captain Gabe Landeskog back for the first time since you lifted the cup, and that emotional moment, like, all of those things should mean that you're going to win this series. But at this moment, it's precarious, and Dallas has the momentum. They had the advantage, and in game five, they had something that they hadn't had previously in the series, despite playing that, you know, that well, which was their star players flexing and making a difference and hitting the score sheet. So it's dangerous times for Colorado, which was a team that I think a lot of people thought would advance from the series. And if they advanced from the series, thought they could win the cup.
Thank you, as always. It's fun to talk to you about this stuff. Appreciate it. And hopefully there's more opportunities to talk Caps over the next month or so. Greg, appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, everybody, ESPN's senior NHL writer. He likes the Caps to beat the Carolina Hurricanes.
Puck back for Savard.
Back in net is Dobesh. Everyone standing here in the nation's capital. The Caps are moving on as the puck goes far wing. Chipped up in the air by Trevor Van Riemsdyk to the Montreal line. For the first time since 2018, the Capitals nail down a best of seven series. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Montreal. Logan Thompson and the Capitals are moving on to round two.
John Walton has heard right here on The Fan, the Caps with a 4-1 Game 5 win and a 4-1 series win, taking care of business with three victories on home ice to move on to round two. Caps playoff coverage on The Fan brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For over 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey, and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. Let's go right now to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, Caps defenseman Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who was a huge part of a series win over Montreal. Trevor, thank you for the time. How are you?
Good. How about you?
We're great, buddy. Congrats on the series win. My first question is, when are you guys playing again?
I don't know. It seems kind of strange that to have this long of a break this time of year, but we'll take it, use it to our advantage, and enjoy this beautiful weather we've been having. It's been nice, but obviously I think guys are slowly starting to get that itch to get this next series started, especially because we know who we're playing.
Yeah, it would be nice to know when we're playing. At this point, as a fan base,
it's just weird to want that. Yeah,
you know, I know you guys probably as players want that as well. But let's let the National Hockey League take their time whenever they're ready. Maybe they will clue us in on what's next. But I want to go back to Montreal for a second. You guys over the years, and I don't mean you and this group, this iteration, but the organization generally, finishing series has been tough, and ending things in 4 and 5 games has just kind of been non-existent. How are you able to, in a lot of close games with them throwing everything at you, finish them off the way that you did? I don't want to use the word casually because you had to battle, but as far as playoff series is go, that one kind of came and went quickly by cap standards.
Yeah, no, it was a great series for us, and I thought we played really, really well. I thought that game three, obviously, that atmosphere in Montreal, and they were desperate. They needed that win. That game probably got away from us a little bit. But, I mean, you look back at the series and those first two games, I thought we played well. But, I mean, they still ended up being super tight, one in overtime, one where they were throwing everything at us late, and LT had to make some huge saves. So, always confident in our group, but a bounce here, a bounce there, and all of a sudden they win one early on, and then it's a totally different series. So that's just kind of how playoff hockey goes. You can play almost identical games, and some games you'll get a bounce, some games you won't, and you can't dwell on it too much, the wins or the losses. You just got to take each game as it comes.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk with us here. Our great and Danny, you mentioned Logan Thompson, Trevor, and good heavens, he was outstanding in that first series for you guys. A, just your thoughts on him, but B, what's it like on ice when I'm thinking of that one, like from the high slot that he robbed with his glove that was a goal, like 999, whatever times out of a billion, and he just ripped it up and just like had it and had that look, and they were so dejected. What's it like on ice when a save like that happens? Are you know, positively giving him an attaboy or something like that, or just talk about him and what's it like when he makes one of those oh my god saves?
Yeah, he's been awesome. He's done it all year, and he's been huge for us to be in the position that we're in. And yeah, I think that is kind of the way he does it, kind of in that casual way. Sometimes it can be frustrating for other teams, especially in a playoff series. As you get going, you feel like you're doing all the right things, getting all the chances, and when a goalie's standing on its head, it definitely takes a lot of mental strength to not let it get to you and just stay on your game. I know their goalies in Montreal played really well, and you can feel it in those games where you feel like, oh, we should be winning, we really should. It takes a lot of discipline and diligence to stay with the program and not try to
do too much or try to do, oh, now I got to do more because this isn't working. It's just you got to stick to that plan, and that's hard to do. And when LT's standing on his head and it feels like nothing's getting by him, that's a nice feeling to have when you're on the ice and on the bench.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk is with us, one of the unsung heroes of the Caps series win over Montreal. Just marvelous. A couple of assists in game four, including making the play to spring Mangiapane for the game winner. Had three games where he had over 16 minutes TOI in this series. And with, you know, what's going on defensively, no Marty Ferravari, which is a huge blow. Alexiev playing a little more than he has. I mean, Van Riemsdyk's really had to step up and was massive. In fact, in the post-game victory speech from Spencer Carberry to the team, he only singled out one player. He only called out one guy, and it was you. Let's listen to that from after the game.
One more guy I want to highlight, okay? And this guy doesn't get a ton of credit, but I thought he was phenomenal in this series. Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Yeah!
I mean, Carly's losing it. Everyone's going crazy. Like, a lot of times he singles out little plays. He's like, I like this board battle from Willie in the second. That hit got us going. Hey, and how about LT? And everyone claps. He called out one guy who had a great series, and it was Trevor Van Riemsdyk. How about that?
Yeah, that was obviously extremely special. And the guys to give me a reaction like that, it definitely meant a lot to me. And, yeah, I mean – but you look back on a series, and so many guys did so many things. Willie was a force all series. LT stood on his head. So, obviously, throughout the series, different games, different guys stepped up. And obviously, to get that from Carbs was special. But there's definitely 20-plus guys that have done a ton for us in that series. And the best part is we just get to start over and try to do it again in this next series. So, it definitely meant a lot to me, and to have everyone react the way they did, it meant a ton. But, yeah, I think he could have said that about a lot of guys. Anytime you win a series in five games like that, there's definitely a lot of guys doing things well.
So, Trevor, speaking of doing things well, okay, so I'm a rube. I could sit there and, like, in mixed company and be like, you know what a good series is Dylan Strome because he had, like, a million points, you know? I'm good at that level. How will I know that TVR is on his game? Like, how do I know that you're having a good series to the point that Coach Carbs is going to call you out?
Yeah, I think the most important thing in my game is breaking the puck out of our zone well. I think, and Al Alexiev, you got to give him props. Obviously not playing a ton during the regular season, and then you step into a playoff. I mean, he had to do it last year too. He did it awesome, and this year has been no different. He stepped in. I mean, going into that Montreal building on the road, he handled himself like a veteran. And yeah, I think when we're playing well, we're just trying to be out of our end as quick and as smooth as possible. You know, it's if you're not hearing my name too much, that's probably a good thing. And yeah, especially against a Carolina team coming up who can really forecheck and really get on you. Making those plays in your own end, staying composed while a lot of chaos is around you is important. And when you can do that, it just makes your game look that much better when you're getting most of your touches in the offensive end instead of the defensive zone.
And Alexiev did it without his teeth, too. He had a couple of teeth get left on the ice there. Which
Just a warrior to come back like that after taking that right in the mouth. And the toothless grin after the big win was was great to see. But yeah, he's done an awesome job. You can't stress how tough that must be to stick with it mentally, physically, throughout a long year, and to step right in the playoffs and just like he hasn't missed a beat and playing with confidence, making plays. And it's we're going to need him if we're going to win another series. And he hasn't showed any signs of slowing down.
I want to preview the Canes and talk about that team in just a moment. Trevor Van Riemsdyk's with one of the American skaters on the Caps squad, a New Jersey native. So maybe we can ask him about some of his other sports proclivities before we get out of here. But by the way, by the end of the series, you were getting taken in our goals draft that we have here on Grant and Danny. So we do a little snake draft where we pick the Capital to score a goal, and we have a little ongoing scoreboard. And TVR
I hope
started.
You were getting favorable odds for making that pick.
it's 15 deep. We go three-round snake draft. But by the end of the series, just the way you were playing and activating, you were coming off the board.
Yeah. I mean, I probably should have scored. I had a little half breakaway there early in game five, and
I probably look like a guy who doesn't score much with my attempt, but I appreciate the love.
You got your op for sure. All right, let's talk Canes for a minute. The Penguins have long been the team that collectively as a fan base we hate the most. But the Hurricanes are trying real hard to give them a run for their money. Obviously, the 2019 series, going back way into the past, 3-2 series lead, Fogle cheap shots, Oshie, everything goes off
the
rails.
I was on that Carolina team.
Oh, so you,
yeah. Well, I wish you about that.
That Fogle hit was nonsense. So you can text him when we're done. That was BS. but anyway, so then you know a thing or two about Ron Brindamore, who I think is a big pain in the ass, too.
Yeah, Roddy's for sure passionate, and when he played and when he coaches, he definitely brings the energy behind the bench, and their team style, the way they play, is a direct correlation to that. So they're definitely, I know teams hated playing against us when I was there, and I know it's definitely a pain in the ass playing them now. They're super direct. You know what they're going to get. They're not going to surprise you with anything crazy, but they're super hardworking and dedicated to the way they play, and they're all bought in. And when you have 20 guys that are kind of doing the same thing on the same page, it'll make it tough to play against. And I think that's what's made us so good this year, is we're all kind of on the same page doing the same thing. We play a little different than Carolina, obviously, but you can see the power of getting everyone on the same page, pulling in the same direction. And it'll be an exciting series. We've definitely had some exciting regular season games against them this year, so there's no love lost, and that only makes for more fun.
So Danny and I always wonder this. Who's the guy you think will hate the most by the end of the series? Like Jalen Chatfield, number 5, is still circled for me. Now Duhame whooped his butt and got even after he slammed Mikey on the ice. And Mikey shouldn't have picked that fight, let's face it. That's not where we need Michael, McMichael being. But then you can't slam him on the ice, so Duhame, doggy, went and beat him up, so we like that. But who's the guy by the end of the series that you think we're going to despise the most on the Hurricanes?
Oh, jeez. Well, I mean, they've got a bunch of guys that play that style, that run around and cause a lot of chaos, and they do it with a smile on their face. So, I mean, Martin
sounds like something I'll hate for sure.
Yeah, but Martinook's made a career out of it as being just a high energy, really hardworking guy, and he's had a heck of a year for himself. Him and Jordan Staal kind of playing together all year long, and they've put up some really good numbers. And then, I mean, even their top line, it's not a top line where it's just kind of on the perimeter and playing, kind of making fancy high-end plays. They play hard, too. So I'm sure the fans will all have their targets, and we'll have ours, too. And they'll have their guys of ours that they don't like, and that's what makes playoff hockey fun. I know in this Montreal series, we were things were boiling over, things were hostile, and but at the end of the day, the series ends, and you get in line and shake the other guy's hand. As tough as it may seem after games 1, 2, 3, 4, you can't imagine it. But when things settle down, it's everyone's just trying to get the same thing accomplished and do the same thing, and that's helped their team win. So I think when you're within the series and things are going on, the crowd gets wild and all that stuff, it's hard to think that you're going to be shaking hands with some of these guys. But I think as you settle in, when the series finally ends, you realize everyone's just kind of trying to do the same thing.
Trevor, my last one super quick is, how do you approach the agitator? In other words, you can't let him get away with everything, because you can't just start walking all over us. But at the same time, you can't do the thing that they want you to do, which is to get off your game and get all pissed off and make it a point to, like, find them. So, like, what's the line? How does it work?
Yeah, I think every team and every guy that kind of embraces that role, you kind of treat differently. And I think, yeah, like you said, the most important thing is you can't allow it to affect negatively the team game, to let our focus be more on retribution and getting guys rather than the final scoreboard. So there's always, I mean, it's, series can be long, 7-game series. There's always going to be time to make big hits and kind of get back at guys a little bit. And if they're going to hit you, you're going to hit them and not let them off the hook. But yeah, I think the most important thing is to not get wrapped up in it, because a lot of guys in that role, that's what they want. They want you thinking about them, like, oh, how am I gonna hit them? And, oh, instead of making the smart play, I'm going to try to inflict some pain. And that's never where you want your headspace to be. I think it's a fine line, and the guys that are best at that agitator role do a good job of it. But, yeah, it's you don't want to back down from anyone. You don't want to let anyone on the other team get away with anything that puts guys at our team at risk. But also you want to put the team first always.
TVR, Capitals, getting ready for the Canes, played in all 82 games this season, was a plus 20, was really one of the best-kept secrets on the squad. By the way, are you an NFL fan? You a Giants fan? What's your non-hockey sports proclivity?
Unfortunately, I'm a Jets fan, a Knicks fan, and I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I don't even think I'd pick a baseball team, but yeah, Jets and Knicks. But Knicks are trending. Knicks are trending.
Bro, yeah. The shot last night was that was badass.
Yeah. No, the Knicks are they got it going on the last couple of years, and to see, I mean, I just see social media clips, but when the Knicks are good, that city is going wild, and yeah, so it's fun to see them doing well. But yeah, the Jets, I love the Jets, and that's just been a tough ride lately.
Yeah, sorry about that. We can relate as Commanders fans that used to be Redskins fans.
Hey, you guys are looking like you're heading in the right direction here.
Jaden Daniels,
Jaden Daniels as the team just taken off.
And you're sitting on the glass cheering you guys on. The whole quarterback.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was pretty cool. Well, hey, man, we are so fired up about the series win over Montreal. Cannot wait for this to-be-determined game one,
and
maybe the NHL.
Whenever you guys play again, it'll be fun.
The NHL will let us know sometime in the next week or two. Yeah, hopefully it's sometime in May.
It'll
but
in
when
May.
It starts, we'll be there with bells on. So go get them.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, thanks for having me, guys, and it should be a great series whenever that is.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk and the Capitals just waiting to figure out when they're going to play game one.